Do you know how the knowledge of Christ is spread among men? Salvation is the free work of God by His grace. There isn't any question about it, but that God does this Himself for us because of His kindness and His mercy. But we are to share it with others in a way that's almost frightening. It would seem that the knowledge of the gospel will be spread abroad in the world by the people who know it. Now, the very heart of the gospel is that Christ Jesus came for us. What I want to draw your attention to just now is that the first effect of the gospel in my soul is to make me want to go for others. We want to go for others. This becomes clear as we go along in our study of the Gospel of John. We are just entering this week in a beginning our study of the Gospel according to John. We are now in the first chapter, and today we're going to be looking from verse 35 through verse 42. So if you have in your hand your Bible, open it up to the Gospel of John, look at the first chapter, and beginning to look at the verse 35, I will read to you and will comment about these things. You will notice in verses 35 to 37 that you have here a very interesting and important testimony, as it were, to the preaching of John the Baptist. Notice how it says, "Again the next day after, John stood, two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus." Now, it seems very simple, doesn't it? It runs through very naturally, yet how important it is. John preached in such a way that the people who heard him preach followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You see, they might have been tempted to follow John. They might have been tempted to stay with John. Or they might not have been moved to follow him. They could have heard John preach and then go back home. But these men heard John preach, and they followed Jesus. This is the preaching of John. So look at it again. What did John preach about? And I want you to notice that John did not tell them they'd been doing wrong. They may have been. John did not tell them they ought to do right. I'm sure they ought to. John did not tell him that the community needed their service. Been. None of these things. What did John preach about? Behold the Lamb of God. This was his topic. This was his theme. He talked about the Lord Jesus. These people looked at the Lord Jesus, and you know what? They followed him. How would that follow? Because the Lord Jesus, if you get to know him at all, if you get to know the Lord Jesus at all, he'll stand in front of you with an outstretched hand and he will say, Come. Come unto me. That's what will happen. And if you know Jesus of Nazareth, I'll tell you right now, you won't know any picture on the wall. And you won't see any statue in the park. You'll see a person. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be conscious of a person who has his eye on you and who has his hand out, inviting you to come and take his hand. It'll be, Come, follow me. And the Apostle John John the Baptist preached about Jesus of Nazareth in such a way that his hearers just got up and followed him. This is wonderful to my mind. And it reminds you so much of the preaching of the Apostle Paul. If I may recall to your mind when he went to Corinth, he says in 1 Corinthians, you will read in there how he said, I was resolved to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the same story. Preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And here you have it. Behold the Lamb of God. And when you use the word lamb, you're having in mind a sacrifice that's going to be destroyed. Because that's what the word lamb means. That is the lamb that is offered as a sacrifice for sin. Behold the one whom God has sent who's going to die for me is included in Behold the Lamb of God. And these two disciples followed him. Now look in verse 38-39, a very interesting thing. When you do follow the Lord Jesus Christ and you come to listen to him and he's going to be your teacher, He's going to be the one that will guide you. What's he going to say to you? Now notice, Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, What seek ye? And by the way, that's not a bad idea to ask yourself any time you go to church. Suppose any time that you go into the church building, just as you go through the door, if you were to listen, you know what you'd hear the Lord Jesus saying to you? What do you want? What seek ye? That wouldn't be said in an unkind way. That'd be said with a way to find out, to see about giving you what you want and opening your eyes to what you're actually looking for. I think some of us possibly go to church, possibly aren't looking for anything. We might be shocked if we were stopped at the door by someone who would stand there and kindly looking us in the eye would just say, What do you want? What are you after? And they asked him, or rather he asked them. He saw them following and said, What seek ye? What do you want? But they knew. They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted master, where dwellest thou? We'd like to know where you dwell. That is to say, and I'm not sure I can interpret everything about this phrase, where dwellest thou, but it's a bit like this. Where do you get the origin of your ideas? Where is the source of your strength? In what are you depending? What are you resting in? Where dwellest thou? What about your own personal life? How are you resting and trusting? That's what they wanted to know. We want to know about you. And he saith unto them, Come and see. I think that's so tremendous. Come and see. No argument, no explanation, no description, no standing outside and talking about what's inside. Come on inside and see for yourself. And this is very, very important. All our faith is in him. And he wants us to come in him to find out. He's not going to parade himself out before the world. He's not going to be setting his ideas out so far as the world as a whole is concerned. Does anybody want to know about him? Fine. Come and see. Look. But come. And come inside and see. Now notice verses 40 to 41. One of the two which heard him speak was... and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And so Andrew had a message. Now let's look back again at 39. Verse 39, after the Lord Jesus said, Come and see, they came and saw where he dwelt, and they abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Meaning to say it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And so they spent the evening with him and spent the night. But you see, they actually had fellowship with him. I'm saying that to you because I want you to know that this Andrew did not go out the next day with just a bright idea in his mind. Andrew went out the next day to find his brother Simon with an experience. He had personally been with the Lord. And the next day, as soon as he went out, he went to find his brother Simon. And we have, of course, societies of Andrew all over the country, and it's worth it. We have churches named after him, and that's fine, too. Andrew is the man of whom it is said, He first findeth his own brother Simon. This is a wonderful thing. And when he found him, what did he say? We have found the Messiah. We have found Christ. And then in verse 42, he brought him to Jesus. You know, there's no record of any argument, no record of any debate. There's no record of any discussion as to what Peter was going to do. There's no explanation nor any interpretation of what the situation called for. There wasn't any review of the neighborhood and feeling it's really bad around here, we ought to do something about it. None of these things are mentioned. May all have had their place in the whole situation, not mentioned here. What is mentioned here is that Andrew had come to the Lord Jesus personally, had spent the night with him, had come to know him, went out and found his brother, didn't have any arguments. They say, come. We found him. We found the one of whom Moses and the prophets did write. We found the Messiah, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. That's the important thing. And he When Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon the son of Jonas, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. We may not have as much time as we need in this. Maybe sometime later we will go in and talk about this again, because Simon Peter had a long experience of being with the Lord Jesus Christ. But right here at the very outset, the Lord Jesus pointed to a big change was going to happen with Simon. Thou art called Simon, thou shalt be called Cephas. And it'll be enough to immediately bring to your mind that the word Simon means sand, and the word Cephas means rock. And he's referring to the fact that the way Simon was right then when he came was like sand, and what he was going to be was like rock. When the Bible uses this, it's speaking of the use these materials would be for a foundation. And what sand would be like, you know, you build a house on the sand, it won't stand up. You build it on the rock, it will stand up. What he's actually saying to Peter is something like this. The way you are right now is that you're an unreliable, vacillating person, in and out and up and down, and you're not dependable. But I will make you a dependable person, and you're going to be just like a rock. All the way through, you will notice the personal dealing. The Lord Jesus dealing with these people personally. How John preached about him personally, and then how these men personally followed him, how he called them to spend the night with him personally, and the next day how Andrew went out, found his brother personally, brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ individually, personally, and then how the Lord Jesus dealt with him person to person. I and thou, that kind of thing. All of this will help you to understand how the knowledge of Christ is spread in the hearts of men. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us in our witness and testimony. And if there's any of our loved ones, any of our friends that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray Thee to give us grace that we may know how to approach them and how to show them our faith in Thee. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.